Today's daf is daf Mem Gimel. Now we're holding right in the middle of the sugya of Shlichut. And just to bring you up to date, we have gone through the cases where we know that the Torah has been mar b'Shlichut. So we have Gerishin and Kedushin, which is really one thing because we have the Yatzah v'Haita. We have the case of Truma of Gamaten. And we have the case of Kachim, where we learn out from Kol Yisrael Kulam Shaychim. So the Kol Kaladat Yisrael means that somebody else is doing the Shlichut. Or, if you learn that that pasuk is only coming to tell me that you could be Yotzi without a kezayit of a korban Pesach, so then we had also the pasuk, the extra psukim of Ish selavet avot, that you can act on behalf of the family, and then it's an extra pasuk to tell me that even though you may not have involvement in it, you're not a partner, that nonetheless you can be a shlichut. Okay, a little bit of variation, a different shitot, but we certainly had those three cases. So then we began to examine what about cases where apparently we do not accept shlichut for no particular reason, and so we came to understand that, such as you give a fire to somebody and you tell them go burn down half the town. So over there we said there's no din of shlichut. Why? That's a svara. Because divrei atalmid, divrei rabbi, divrei atalmid, divrei mi shomim. It's not an excuse to say, he told me to do it. I was following orders. Of course, it goes all the way back to Gan Eden and the Nochash and the, what could I do? And Nochash Shiani. Again, divrei rabbi, divrei atalmid. That was the response right there. But then we found cases where actually there is a shlichut l'dvar avera. So we found out that me'ila is such a case. We wondered why it is that we don't use me'ila as a model to teach me that always we should have an extended din of agency, where even where we have this moral choice of divrei rav, divrei atalmid, that the agent should nonetheless be enough of an agent to be mechayev of the one who sent him. So it turned out that we had three possible cases where that would be true. One is me'ila. One we had was also the So, and one was Shlichus Yad B'Pikad. Now, we might have three cases. There was a Bachlokas, Beit Shammai, and Beit Hillel, about whether the Shlichut Yad could have been even using an agent or not. But so we had at least two cases. Since we had two cases, so we had Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'achad, wherever you have two cases that are telling you the same thing, obviously neither of the cases is meant to be a model, because then why would I need two models? So it's as if the Torah is saying, forget about that, don't use that as the model, and therefore you're left with the cases where there is a shlichut where it's not the Dvar Avera. And we already explained why the three cases of Truma, Kachim, and Gerishin, why those are not considered to be Shnei Ketuvim Ke'achad, because they're all three. They were unique cases. So we were holding in the middle of this issue yesterday, and we ended up having a number of different ways in which we had Shnei Ketuvim Ke'achad, and now we're on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph at the words Hei Nicha Laman De'Omar. So now if we go down 8 lines from the top. So, hey, Nichol Man Yomer, says the Gemara, okay, everything works out very nicely if you hold like the Man Yomer who says, Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'achadim Melamdim, that wherever you have two examples, neither of them is meant to be used as a model. Ela Man Yomer Melamdim, but if you hold according to the one who says that even where you have two cases, they can still jointly be a model, my Ikal Meimar. So now we have no basis for being so sure that we shouldn't derive the din of Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera from the cases as given. So we have the case of Me'ila, where the Torah says specifically, we learned out, if you recall, Chet Chet Mitruma, that the halacha is over there, that Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera, just like the Shlichut by Truma. And we definitely had the other case of Tvichu Mechira, where over there the Torah, for many reasons, either we had the O is extra, or the comparison of the Tvicha to the Mechiras, it needs to be another hand in the middle, or we had the two Tachats, but whatever the Raya was, everybody agreed that when it came to Tvichu Mechira, Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera. The only question was whether we had three cases or not. So that means, according to Beit Shammai, we have the Alkol Dvar Pesha to tell me that even if you think about it, whereas it was Beit Hillel who said that we have a ribui even for Shlichut over there. So my Ikalame, and I just want to point out to you that this is a little bit of a problem, this question. The reason it's a problem is because we actually have, according to Beit Hillel, three tzuvim. Correct? We have Tvichu Mechira, we have Shlichus Yad, and we have the case of Me'ila. Now, if you remember that we've seen before that even the Man Yomer holds Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'achadim Melamdim, but where you have three Ketuvim Abayim Ke'achad, everybody agrees it can't possibly be meant to be a model. So what's the Gemara's question? The Bnei Yehoshua asked the thing. Now, I want to point out that the only His problem, of course, is that the only basis of asking this question would be Elibe de Beit Shammai. Now, why would we bother looking at Elibe de Beit Shammai? All right, but we could simply say, okay, so Elibe de Beit Shammai. Why do we have to go through all of this rigmarole? So I just want to point out that in a sugya, where the Gemara is coming to analyze the approach of Beit Shammai versus the approach of Beit Hillel, you can never ask that question, why bother? Well, maybe he just told Shnei Ketuvim and Gecharei Milam, right? Because the point of such an analysis is never la halacha. The point of such an analysis is to say, in the alternative reality, which is the consistent world of of Beit Shammai, we need to fit in all of the various possibilities there too. So if you hold, like the Man Yomar, in that world of that Shnei Ketuvim and Gecharei Milam, and you do not have three ketuvim in that world, because in Elibe de Beit Shammai, there's only two ketuvim, what would you do? That's the issue, okay? And then we'll bring it back into our own reality. But this, I think, is a yesod all over, that we never, unless we're really forced into it, we will never limit an alternative reality and say, well, okay, so it'll only work out if you hold the Shnei Ketuvim and Gecharei Milam. Why would we do such a thing? We're exploring the possibilities. We're not anyway looking to see how that halacha works out. Okay. Anyway, so getting back now to the Gemara's question. So, hey, Nichalaman Yomer Shnei Ketuvim Aboim Kecharei Melamdim. It's all very nice if you hold that Shnei Ketuvim Aboim Kecharei Melamdim. So now we know that since we have the Tvichu Mechira on the one hand and Me'ila on the other, both of them saying the same thing, that is, that Yeh Shliach L'Dvar Avera, so that would mean that all over ain't Shliach L'Dvar Avera except in these unique cases. Elalaman Yomer Melamdim, if you hold that you could use both cases as a model, so then Ma'ik Elamemar. Ah! What we could say is that Goli Rachmana B'Shchut Echutz Dam Yechashev La'ish Ha'hu Dam Shafach. The Torah is letting us know, when it comes to the Yisr of Shchut Echutz, which, as you know, is you are not allowed to shech the korban outside of the Beit HaMikdash. So over there, why does it say La'ish Ha'hu? To that person. Obviously to that person. I mean, who else would it be referring to? Ah, who else? His agent. So in other words, it's coming to tell me, if the guy himself does his own dirty work, so then dam yechasheva la'ishahu dam shafach. But if he gets somebody else to do his dirty work, then not dam yechasheva la'ishahu. It's the guy who does it, and not the guy who sends an agent to do it. Why does the Torah need to tell me that? To tell me there's no shliach l'dvar avera. What do you mean? But that only tells me by shchut echutz. Ashkan gav shchut echutz. How do I know that kol atayra kula minola? We use shchut echutz as a model. Yodah for shchut echutz. Wait a second. I don't understand. But you're claiming that we have models in both directions. We have a model by shchut echutz. And we have a model, although albeit it's a double model, from Tzvichu, Mechira, and Me'ila. But so what? You said double models are fine. So what makes you choose one model over the other? How do you know to look at shchut echutz to be a model that ain't shliach l'dvar avera? And not use Tvichu Mechira Me'ila that Yeh Shliach L'Dvar Aver Sa'adiyolek B'Shchut Echutz. Instead of learning it out of Shchut Echutz, why not Ne'elef Me'anach? Why not learn it out from the other two? Ah, because the Torah repeats the Mi'ut by Shchut Echutz. Tell me, not only in this case am I telling you that Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aver, but Hadakat Rachmana V'Nichrat Ha'ish Ha'hu. Why does it have to stress Ha'ish Ha'hu again when it comes to the Din of Karet? So you say, but that's also talking about Shchut Echutz. True, but Imeinu Eini L'Gufo. I mean, there's no point in repeating yourself when it comes to the particular din of Shchut Echutz. So therefore, the Torah is announcing, I hereby give you the model of the din of Shchut L'Dvar Avera, and the rule is, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. Hey, that's interesting. The problem is that now we've created a new limud of two who's, and we only need this limud if Yod Shnei Ketuvim and Ben Kechon Melamdim. But if you hold Shnei Ketuvim Kechon Ein Melamdim anyway, then what do we do with the two who's? So therefore, now I want to know, I have an interesting question. Lamad Yomer Shnei Ketuvim Kechon Ein Melamdim. So hani ha-hu, my darishbu. What are we doing with these ha-hu's all over? Ah, one comes to tell me, according to him, chad lemute shnayim ochazim besakim, that only if an individual does shchut echutz is he chayav. But if he does the shchita with two people together, then neither of them are chayav. So it's ha-isha, who an individual, and chad, who velo anus, who velo shogeg, who velo mute. Only if, normally the halacha is, okay, you made a mistake, but there's also a chiyuv. The din over here is that if you are not fully aware of what you're doing, that there is no chiyuv of shchut echutz. The Rishonim ask, I mean, what do you mean, hu v'lo onus? Obviously, hu v'lo onus. You're never considered to be chayev if you're an onus. Somebody's forcing you to do something. Or you did it with complete inability to have known something. It's a very interesting ritva who says that it's a beautiful case that a hu v'lo onus means somebody puts a gun to your head and says, I want you to do this shchut echutz. So you might have thought, note the language of the pasuk, dam yechashev la'isha hu dam shafat. So you might have thought that it's the equivalent of ritzicha. So just like we say that by rape, the Torah compares naira murasa, kasher yakum isha re'ehu v'harago nefesh kena davar hazeh, which teaches us that in the same way that it's logical to say that I shouldn't murder someone else to save my own life, we also have to learn out that even where it's not logical, that you're not allowed to rape naira murasa to save your own life. That's how we learn out that arayot are the equivalent of, I would have learned, said the Trushutakot, dam yechashev. Therefore, it needs to say, ahu, to tell me you shouldn't think that you're mechuyah to be moser nefesh when it comes to Shutakot, and that it's not similar to Ritzir. No, it's possible. There's two different dinim over here. The payment is secular. We're talking about the Isser issue. Secular issue, where we discuss what the din is by Mominus. That's groma. It's the same halacha that we had by going down and burning down half the town. Over here, you burn down the guy's heart through a shliach. Okay, so one is to be mamayit onus shagig mute. So then why isn't that the primary drasha? Why would we use who to be mamayit an agent? So the other man, the owner, is claiming that ahu is a din and agency. Where does he know those other din from? He learns that from hahu. In other words, what do you mean, ha-hu? That's a double now. You're saying the one. It's got to be the man. If not, you just say that man. Ish who? Say who? Ha-hu? The other man, Yom HaZeh, like, come on. I mean, that's the way you use the language. Ish ha-hu? Who ha-hu lo dorsh? It's a separate drush. He doesn't accept it. So it means we either have four who's, so to speak, or two. If you hold that you need to have the drusha of no agent to teach Kol HaTorah Kula, we use all four. Shnayim Ochazim is one. La'onos is two. Locally in the din of Shkut Echutz is the other hay, and then as the model for Kol HaTorah Kula is the second hay. If you hold that you don't need, because of the halakha of Shnei Tzumavoyim Kechad Emelamdim, so then in that case, you only have the true drushas, the two drushas of Shnayim Shochadim. Just by the way, Rashi understands that according to the Man Yomer holds Ein Melamdin, it's not necessary. So there's two ways of understanding Ein Melamdin. Ein Melamdin could mean that the very fact that the Torah told you two means not three. Because if it wanted you to use it as a model, it would have only said one. So by saying two, I'm not only telling you don't use it as a model, I'm telling you it's the wrong model. In which case, I now wouldn't have to look around according to that Man Yomer. So which model are you going to look for? What do you mean? The reason I'm not going to learn it out of Shkut Echutz is because the Torah says Beferish. Out of Me'ila, the Torah said Beferish. Don't, by using Shnei Ketuvim and Ban Kecha. Rashi doesn't learn like that. In other words, it's neutral vis-a-vis the model, whether Shnei Ketuvim and Ban Kecha. It's not a specific instruction not to use it as a model. Therefore, Rashi says, essentially, if you hold Ein Melamdim, we are now left to our own devices. Okay, what do we want to do? Do we want to learn it out of Me'ila or not? Because we certainly have grounds here not to. Says Rashi, since logically we had our svar of Divrei Arav, Divrei Atam, and Divrei Mishomim, as unless we can disprove that logic specifically, then obviously we're going to say that Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveir. That's the point. So there's left to our own devices. In other words, take out over here the information that you've been looking at. Because now I have no reason to trust either of these. I'm left to my own devices. What are you going to do? You're going to follow your rationality. The rationality is, in a case where there's a made a choice, then he's not acting on my benefit. He's made his own choices. And because of that, I would be potter as the Mishaleh. Okay. Continues now, says the Gemara, I have a little bit of a problem. Because, Hadatani, how about the following bright? A guy hires a mafia hitman to kill somebody. So the halacha is, hu chayav v'sholchav patur. The hitman is chayav for the murder, and the guy who took out the contract is patur on the murder. Shamay hazaken omer mishum chagai hanavi. Shamay hazaken says, in the name of chagai hanavi, it's not true. The guy who takes out the contract is chayav. Sholchav chayav. Where do I see it? Shene'emar, because here, David HaMelech. Now, remember the story of David HaMelech. It's important to remember the details of the story. David HaMelech takes the wife of Uriah. He takes Bathsheba. We understand that Uriah, when he went to war, wrote a divorce, according to Rashi, on condition that he would not make it back. If he doesn't make it back from the war, then she was divorced from the time that he went out to war. According to Tosis, it was an unconditional divorce. Every soldier gave an unconditional divorce and would then retake his wife. But in any event, what happens is he sleeps with Bathsheba and gets her pregnant, which is a disaster, obviously, because now if Uriah has been away for all of this time, he's going to be a little bit confused about how she got pregnant. So what does he do? He sends for Uriah, and he tells Uriah, you know, you're a great soldier. I want to give you a couple days off. I want you to go home and have a nice time with your wife. And Uriah thinks it's a little bit strange. So he tells David, I mean, it's very inappropriate. All of my friends are out there, and here's the language that he uses. Adoni Yoav, my master, the general, Yoav, and Chol Avdei Adoni, all of the soldiers who are essentially seen as doing the bidding of the general Yoav, are out on the battlefield, and I'm going to be sitting around having fun with my wife? This is outrageous. Okay, so what happens is David then sends a message to Yoav, make sure that you put Uriah in a front situation where he's going to get killed. And Uriah is killed. Comes now the Navi, Nosan HaNavi comes and he says over to David HaMelech this horrible story in which David HaMelech suddenly realizes the references to him and he's devastated, right? So now, in that story, Natan tells him, Voto harakta becherev b'nei Amon. And you murdered him utilizing the sword of the enemy. It was b'nei Amon. So you put him in front of the bullet, basically. By putting him in front of the bullet, you're the murderer. Says Beit Shammai. Says Shammai Hazaken. If the Navi tells David, Oto harakta becherev b'nei Amon. So you see that he's considered to be morally culpable despite the fact that he really only hired an assassin, so to speak. So he had Yoav put him in the Navi. Why is he the one? So you see from here that if you take out a contract on somebody's life, to Shammai Hazaken, that you're going to be chayav. Done as he argues with our whole analysis. We'll see. My time, the Shammai Hazaken, I mean, is it reasonable that he's basing this on the little story in Nach? I mean, you're not supposed to bring a raya from Nach to something like this. I mean, what's the logic in terms of the psukim that we've analyzed? Well, we'll have to say, first of all, he holds we can learn out from Me'ila and from Tvicho Mechir that Yeshliach Ledvar Avera. And obviously, he doesn't darshan the extra hay of Hu Hahu. So he uses Shkute Chutz only to tell me, Shnayim Ochazim B'Sakim V'Shochatim, or the case of Hu V'Lo Onus. And so Mameli, he has no reason, Lo Dorish, and he has no reason not to learn out Yeshliach Ledvar Avera from the two cases that are given by Me'ila and Tvicho Mechir. Or, you know what, it's possible even, maybe he didn't really mean it. Maybe he meant morally. Really, he doesn't hold of Yeshliach Ledvar Avera. Umay Chayav, when Shammai HaZaken said, the guy who takes out a contract is morally culpable, he doesn't mean culpable in court. He means morally culpable. Chayav b'dinei Shammayim. Ah, come on, what do you say? So the Tanakhama holds there's no moral culpability that's associated with hiring a mafia hitman? I understand he's not the murderer, sir. I mean, he's certainly not contonable. I mean, so why isn't it? So Michlal the Tanagama Savra Filim Dine Shemayim Nami Potter? That's ridiculous. No, says he means Dina Rabba Vidina Zuti Gibinaya. Shammai HaZaken is saying that, look, if you murdered somebody and there were no witnesses, right? So over there the Dine Shemayim treats you as a murderer. This is the equivalent of murdering someone without witnesses. You are a murderer. That's what the Navi is saying. The Tanakhama says you're rotten, no good for nothing, and you're going to burn in hell, etc., etc. But you're not a murderer. So there is a difference is Dina Rabba and Dina Zuta. How much do we view you as directly culpable? Or to what extent is this an ancillary moral capability, an accessory to the fact, so to speak, but not actually the murderer? So that's an afkamina between Shammai HaZaken and the Tanakhama. Or the Ibait Ema, where we could say that, you know what? Generally speaking, indeed, Shammai HaZaken holds that really, that ain't Shliach Ledvar Aver. But over here, Shani Atem, the Gali Rachman, Oto Harakdev, Bichir Vene Amon. Over here, it's a Gilei Hakra that this, look, are we all admitted that there are cases where the Torah says Yesh Shliach Ledvar Aver? Yes. We're all admitted that there's cases where Ain Shliach Ledvar Aver? Yes. So now the question is, okay, what is the model? If I find even a Gilei Milta in the Navi that indicates that this particular case was included in one or the other sets, so then that's acceptable because it's not the Makar for it. It's just the Gilui Milta Bialma. So maybe that's the point. That Shammai Hazaken is saying, look, it's clear that they had a Kabbalah, and this is the way Natan HaNavi speaks to him, that you are a murderer. So obviously that is the one case where we have an exception to the rule, besides the case of Mi'ilah and the Tzvichu Mathira. And indeed, you have a din of a murderer, maybe. Anyway, what do we do with this pasuk of Oto Arak to Becherav B'nei Amon? What do we do with that if you hold Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avir? According to the Tanakhama, why did Natan tell him, you're a murderer? It's on the contrary. Natan is telling him, you know what? You're not really a murderer. I mean, Harei Lecha Kecherav B'nei Amon. You, Ata, are no different than the Kecherav B'nei Amon. Obviously, the Kecherav B'nei Amon Ein Ata Ne'en Ashalav. It's not your responsibility, the bullets that are being shot by the Arabs. Afur Yachiti Ata Ne'en Ashalav. I'm telling you right now. In other words, Natan is being Maram Israel. What you did was wrong because of the way that you did it. It's not that I'm saying that you did something wrong in murdering Uriah. He should have been murdered. But this whole sneaky, sexy, that's disgusting. I will refuse to accept that. And that's horrible. But the part about the murder, that I'm not coming to tell you about that. You had a right to kill him. My time, why? Because Morid b'malchutavi. He obviously is considered to be a Morid b'malchut. So he is rebellious against you. And in being rebellious, you have a din of supposed to kill him. Because Uriah Achiti tells David, Va'adoni Yoav, V'chol Avdei Adoni, Al Pnei Asadeh Chonim. So how do you say that to it? The king is telling you something. So you told the king, well, my real master is Yoav. That's a slap in the face. So because of that, it's a direct refusal to accept the marut of the king. And therefore, it's okay that you killed him. So what? What does one have to do with the other? So here there's a little bit of a question. I mean, Rashi says it's the fact that you said Adoni Yoav. Tosfos says, what's wrong with saying Adoni Yoav? I mean, doesn't the king expect you to respect his ministers and so on? So Tosfos says maybe it's the fact that he refused to do what David said. David said, go home and sleep with your wife and enjoy yourself. And he says, no. But that's not the mashma to the puzzle. Right? I mean, I think really that it's a little bit artificial to ask that question. I mean, obviously the whole context is the issue over here. He's telling you to do this, and you're telling him that is very inappropriate, and the way you phrase the inappropriateness is utilizing Adoni in another circumstance, you know, and you are a schnook. You know, sitting around here, back in your throne, and expecting people to go and enjoy themselves and go into the jacuzzi, and you're not even taking into consideration that the real people are out there doing all the dirty work. You know, Goodnick. I mean, that's the whole context of the communication here. So obviously, it's a merida. You don't need a specific word to prove that it's a merida. Contextually, it was this literally a slap in the face. It was a horrible thing. Amar Rav, im timtza lomar, sov Hashamayim. Look, let's just work. If Lamaisa, what we're saying is about Shammai, is that he holds literally that you are chayev in Beit Din, okay, for taking out a hit contract on somebody. How would that work out? It would work out by, he would hold Shnei Ketuvim Boim Kechem Nolam, so I could learn out from Me'ila and Shchut Echutz that Yesh Liach L'Dvar Avera, and Huahu Lo Dorish, I don't have the extra hay, so from Shchut Echutz I can only learn out the din of Shnayim Ochazim and the Shogay. So that would mean that any time a guy tells you to do something, he's culpable, right? That's what you're saying. It's not only murder. This is not a unique case. How about if he tells you, go sleep with that usher woman? That is a married woman. I really want somebody to be taking her to bed, you know, but I don't have the guts. You do it. So we're going to say, you're chayev because he's having fun. No. You tell somebody, if you take a shliach to go sleep with a woman for you, or you say, you know, I am dying for that delicious, what do they call it? The Luchay Sabris over there, McDonald's. I'm dying for that McDonald's sandwich, you know. But I don't have the guts. How about I buy it for you? You go eat. You know, I'll enjoy it vicariously. How about that? Everybody's motivated. In that case, the guy who takes out the contract is what? Hu chayav shluchav patur. Why? Shaloma tzina b'chola Torah kula zeh ne'eneh v'zeh mitchayev. Where do we find anywhere in the Torah that Joe has the fun, but George pays the bill? I mean, there's no such thing. So it couldn't be that Shammai would have included even that. Let's analyze the logic of this. It's obviously not a function of having fun per se. It's an analysis of the nature of Isser. There are two different sets of Isserim in the Torah, actually. One set of Isser has to do with the object that is achieved. In other words, the Maaseh Isser. One set of Isserim has to do with your personal benefit from that act. There's a tremendous nafkamina between the two. Because let's say you tell somebody, you know what, I don't mind if you take me, pick me up, and smash this infant's head in with my body. Go right ahead. Now, you're not considered to be chayav in that case, because it's not your action. But suppose you tell somebody, you know, I really wouldn't mind if you would stuff that sandwich down my throat. Now, I'm not going to do anything. I just want you to stuff it down my throat. I mean, I wouldn't be over this myself. So then this guy goes ahead and he stuffs it down your throat. Over there, we would say you're chayav because you were nana. Why? So obviously, there's a completely different type of isser, where the isser is what it is that you benefited from. So if you're the one, you caused that to happen, so that's the benefit. If that's the case, it also makes sense in terms of shlichut. Because if the isser has to do with your own personal involvement as opposed to the act per se, so then obviously you can't, it's like saying, I'm going to pay somebody to reproduce for me. And that's not my reproduction. I'm going to pay somebody to put a tefillin for me. That's not my tefillin. So then it becomes the equivalent of a mitzvah shibagufa that I couldn't do with somebody else. So too, this becomes an avera shibagufa by definition. So that's, says Rav, that would be illogical. So everybody understands that. Now, Tosfos has a brilliant border situation. Listen to this. Absolutely beautiful. The case of Me'ila itself, where Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveir, right? So isn't Me'ila a case where the Shliach is going to be Nene from Hegdesh, and nonetheless, it's the Mishaleach who's Chayev? So that's just why, I mean, but it's not the Hana from Hegdesh. It's like taking the money out and buying the Lachmaniyah. That may be, but how? But how about a case where a Mishaleach tells a Shliach, stick your hand into that barrel of oil, and he doesn't tell him it's Hegdesh. The guy sticks his hand into the barrel of oil. And now he's basically soothed his hand without taking out any of the oil. He squeezes it all off. Right? So the din is Nene from Hegdesh. If you're Nene, Shava Prut, even though he didn't remove it from Hegdesh, you're also Chayav. So there you have Me'ila that has to do with pure Hana'ah. But, the Isser is not the Hana'ah. It's just that that defines the nature of the Me'ila. So now, is it possible to say that in that case, since it boils down to the Me'ila being the Hana'ah, wouldn't be possible to be Mechayev the Mishaleach, because after all, I'm the one who had the Hana'ah. Or do we say, yeah, but that's just the logistics of the fact that a Me'ila took place. But the Me'ila taking place is clearly not Hana'ah oriented, because you could do Me'ila by simply moving money from one place to another. This, says Tosfos, I'm not sure. That is a very fascinating situation right at the edge that straddles the Hana's Gufo versus the concept of the Yisurim. Okay, so things are seldom as simple as they appear. Itma, Rav Amar, getting on to the other issues of Shlichut, we've now gotten to the very edge of the nature of Shlichut, because if we're allowing a Shliach to actually do an Avera for you, and the only place where we come off now that that couldn't be true is where it's absolutely personal. How about when it comes to being a witness? A Shliach does something for you. Is he you? Or can he still act as a witness in the very thing that he's doing? Obviously, you can't be a witness for you, because that's the whole point of the witness, is that somebody who's not the one who's involved is able to say objectively that this is what happened. But if we're telling you that a shliach is an extension now of yourself, does that mean literally that he cannot witness the very event? So itma. Rav amar shliach na'aseh eid, devei Rabbi Shila amrei ein shliach na'aseh eid. So here we have a machlokes Rav and devei Rabbi Shila. My time at devei Rabbi Shila. What's the logic to say that ein shliach na'aseh eid? Ilei me mishum delo amar le'avi le'aid. Is it because I made you an agent, but I didn't make you an aide, and since I didn't make you an aide, I don't want you to be an aide? Who the heck cares? Elameata. What are you trying to say? That if somebody goes ahead and is Mekadesh a woman in front of two people, and he didn't tell those two people, I want you to witness this Kiddushin, v'lo amalam atem edai. So what are you saying? That achin ami lo havi Kiddushin? That's not a good Kiddushin? What are you, nuts? The Kiddushin is a perfectly good Kiddushin. I don't have to appoint a witness for the witness to be able to witness. So I told the Shliach, go give money to this woman and say to her, you should be Mekudeshet to me, the one who's sending. And you didn't say, be my witness. Why can't you be a witness? Ella, here's the point. Rav Amar Shliach Nase Eid because Alumi Koma Alimna Lamilta. Rav is saying, look, the fact that the Torah allows agency doesn't mean the agent is you. On the contrary, this is even a greater reason for the agent to be believed because he actually achieved it. I mean, a witness who's uninvolved, he's looking at it from the outside, is not that aware of what's going on. The man who did it on his own, and it's none of his darn business. I mean, what does he care if you are married to this woman, you're not married to this woman? So, I mean, as far as he's concerned, he's not involved in this. He's just an agent. Why can't he say, therefore, I witnessed the fact that this person married this woman? How'd you witness? I gave her the money myself. I mean, wouldn't you say, if the guy says, what do you mean, how do I know? I gave her the money myself. That's a better testimony, not a lesser testimony. So therefore, it's even better. Therefore, Shliach Mara is not saved. Whereas the very Pshili says, no. Ain't Shliach not saved because keeping your mamar shlucho shel adam kamoto, since what you're saying is that an agent is the equivalent of your own maisa, so then you have it like a goofy. It's as if you yourself are testifying to something that you yourself did. You can't do that. Mate, ask the Gemara from the following. Amar l'shlosha tzu'u v'kichuli ha'isha. You tell three people, okay, guys, I want you to make sure I want to be married to that woman. Now you guys take care of it. So one of them becomes the shliach to deliver the kedushin, and the other two become edim. Mishnayim edim. Divrei Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel says, no, none of them are empowered to be edim. They're all shluchim. And ain't shliach ma'asa eid. Now look, man, nobody. Now I don't care if you're all the Beit Hillel or Beit Shammai. There is nobody in this case that holds shliach ma'asa eid. I mean, I can't look pligi el b'shlosha. The only machlokas here is whether you can parse it. In other words, I'll say one of them is the shliach, two of them are the eid, and that's the only machlokas. But if there were only two people here, for sure ain't shliach ma'asa eid. Everybody is agreed. Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, b'shnayim, divrei hakol, that lo. So how can Rav possibly run against both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel for heaven's sakes? Well, no, actually, Rav disagrees with this version of the machlokas between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Who the Amar Kehai Tana? He learns that machlokas is like the following brayta, the Tanya. Rabbi Natan Omer, that actually the machlokas was as following, that Beit Shammai holds the shliach and one other witness are sufficient. So in other words, according to Beit Shammai, shliach is Nasa'ed. Whereas Beit Hillel Omrim, no, you need a shliach and two eidim. And therefore, Rav is not arguing on both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Oh, great, this really helped me. And I was telling me Rav is like Beit Shammai. Come on, Rav ki Beit Shammai? No. I obviously, April. The way Rav had it was that Beit Hillel said what Beit Shammai supposedly said here. Namely, that who? The Eidecha. Rav Acha Berei de Rava actually has the whole discussion between Rav and the Vei Reb Shila backward. He learned it like this. Manti Ibcha Rav Amar Ein Shliach Nase'ed and the Vei Reb Shila Amar Shliach Nase'ed. And the bottom line, by the way, gentlemen, is the Ilkata Shliach Nase'ed. We do not view a shliach as being the equivalent of the person in terms of testimony. He's only the equivalent in terms of his ability to legally achieve what that person can achieve. But being as he is not involved, there's no reason for him not to be able to testify about something that he did. Omar Rav Amar Rav Nachman, let me give you three cases where a shliach is not saved. You tell two people to go out to v'kichuli ataisha. The din is heinen shluchav, heinen eidav. They achieve the marriage for you, and they also testify to which, of course, the testimony in the marriage is part of the actual achievement of the marriage. It's not just a proof. You cannot be Mekadosh Anisha without two witnesses, because al pi shnayim edim yakum, that's the only way in which there's a chalos of this thing. Okay. Furthermore, v'chein begerushin, you tell two people that you deliver this guest, there they can witness the fact that this woman is Megoresha. Now over there, it's just testimony. It's not creating the gerushin. V'chein bedinei mamonot, you send money with two guys. They pay back the loan with this money. Those guys can then testify if the lender says, I was never paid. They can come into court and say, what do you mean, never paid? We gave you the money ourselves. And, says the Gemara, we need all three cases, because I would not know one from the other, the tzricha. Because let's say I would only tell you the first case of kiddushin, okay? I would say, look, the agent is clearly uninvolved when it comes to Kedusha, because it's no sweat off his back for this woman to be married to somebody else. It's just making life harder on him. In other words, if he happened to have had any desire for this woman, he is now making it more difficult for him to get her, not less difficult. So why wouldn't we believe it? Okay, so over there, Mishum de la Mesra Ka'afi, he is coming to make that woman asur. But when you're coming to Gerushin, I mean, yeah, great. Of course he's saying she's Megureshet, and therefore I shall marry her. I mean, why would we accept the testimony of a shliach that she's Megureshet? Now, of course, this is ridiculous. Because according to this, we can never accept anybody's testimony that a woman is Megureshet. Maybe he likes her. So obviously, what it means over here is that the personal involvement of the shlichut is what creates the problem of the edut. We normally are not going to suggest that a guy walks into court and says, I want to bring testimony, this woman is Megureshet. We shouldn't trust her because maybe he wants her. I mean, it's a chutzpah. But over here, the man was empowered to give the get. It's the easiest. It's harder for him to say, oi, I forgot, than it is for him to say, yeah, I gave the get. So over there, what are we saying? That he's just as good as any other witness? He is not. Because his empowerment is the very reason why we shouldn't trust him. So over there, you're not going to say, like Rav said before, oh, it's even better, because he could say, I did it myself. Kamash Malan, says Rav Abram Nachman, even in this case, we do not allow external issues, such as whether maybe he would have wanted to marry herself, to change the fact that a shliach is not you, and he's no different than any other aid, okay? Now, suppose you would have told me Gerushin, I would have said, we need two witnesses. How did they expect to share this woman? So how did they make a deal between them? I get her and you lie for me? That doesn't make sense. So maybe that's why, since Itzalavei Trei Lo Chazit, two guys can't use the same woman. But when it comes to money, maybe the two shluchim have decided to steal the money, split the money between them, and now claim that it was paid, and they're telling the lender, whoa, we paid you. But actually, they just kept the money themselves. So why would we accept their testimony? Emahani miflek palge. Therefore, tzriche to tell you that we don't have that kind of chashash. Says, well, what do you mean we don't have that? Why don't we? Micah Sova. Let me understand over here. There is a major machlokas bichlal about a case where somebody lends you money with witnesses. Can you pay back that money without witnesses? Or is the very fact that he had witnesses there telling you, listen, buddy, this whole thing is going to be documented. You want to come back one day and claim you paid me, you better have witnesses. I lent you the money with witnesses. I am not ready to accept the claim on your part. And therefore, the court will say, look, do you have proof you paid him? No. Did he give you the money with witnesses? Yes, we have those witnesses. Why wasn't he repaid? So now, if you're going to tell me that he would have to be paid back with witnesses, so then hani nogim be'edut, you know, these witnesses that are the shluchim cannot be believed. Because I amri lo par ame, omar laho par uni. In this case, the guy obviously would have given over the money to the shluchim also with witnesses. So if he gave it over to them with witnesses, that means that they are in a tight spot. I mean, it's certainly got to be talking about that case as well. So they're now in a tight spot. Why? If they say, well, we didn't pay the malva, okay? So then the guy says, okay, you didn't pay the malva, then give me my money back. Oh, we did. Did you? And where are the witnesses that you did? Oh, there's two of us. The two of you. The two of you are the ones who owe me the money, because it was given to you with witnesses. So therefore, these shluchim, if they don't say that they paid the malva, are going to have to pay the money out of their own pocket. So how can we believe them to say they paid the malva? So they would be nogea be'idut. De'iamri lo parane, amar lo paruni. If they claim we didn't pay, so then they'll say, okay, so pay me. The point over here is that he holds that if you were given money with witnesses, you could still pay back without witnesses. And therefore, they could have, since they could theoretically say, we gave the money back and we never paid the lender, we gave it back to the borrower, they are now not personally involved. And they can now also claim that we paid off the malved, because they are not one way or the other involved over here. And the truth is that Hashta, the Tikkun Rabbanan, Shvuat HaSeit, the problem is that nowadays you can't get away with any kind of claim without taking a Shvuat. Because even though Midioraita, the only time you have to take a Shvuat is where you're Meida B'Mikdash, or where there's one witness, But Rabbanan, what's interesting is it's Rav Nachman himself who made this takana, which is very strange, because Rav Nachman was the one who said the Matnagir. So what it has to mean is that now, after the fact, it was Rav Nachman apparently said this halacha before he had made the takana of Yeshua HaTzedek. Now that the Edim, that the Shluchim, would have had to take a Shvua, they'd have to take an oath that we gave it back to you. So once again, they become the Gehav Edim. So Tos was asked, yeah, but once they take the oath, so now they're no longer no Gehav Edutam, right? So why now are they not believed vis-a-vis the lender? They're taking an oath to the borrower, we did pay the lender. So why can't they tell the lender, now we paid you? Says Tos is an amazing halacha, really brilliant halacha. Tos says like this. The Torah says, al pishnei edim. What that means is that where the words of the witnesses are accepted as testimony, then they are witnesses. If they need to back up those words with something else, they're no longer witnesses. So the very fact that vis-a-vis the lova, they have to back up their words, they now are canceled as witnesses because their words are not mehemah. So they can't be believed klapi the malva either. Okay, beautiful. Therefore, nowadays, says the Gemara, Hashta the Tikkun Rabbanu Shvata said, what happens is Mishtaboy Haneidim Diyavnale. These Edim swear to the Lova that they paid back the Malva. The Malva, on the other hand, swears to the Lova that he never got the money. Mishtabinu Malva de lo Shokele. And now the Lova will have to pay the Malva because he has no witnesses and the money was given to him with Edim. So now, poor Lova la Malva, the borrower is going to have to repay the lender again. Says the Gemara. Hey, Nichalaman Yom Shlek Tivim Boim Gechad Ein Malam. Devel Laman Yom Malam. De Michael Lameima. Goli Rachmona Beshkut Echutz. Dam Yechashev Leishur Dam Shafach Hu Velo Shlucho. Ashken Gab Beshkut Echutz. Kolot Harkulam Inola. Yolot Beshkut Echutz. Adi Yolot Beshkut Echutz. Nelot Nihanach. Hora Katav Rachmona Menichrat Ayish Hahu. Imenu Enin Legufot. Tnei Enin Lekolot Harkula. Ulaman Yom Shlek Tivim Boim Gechad Ein Malam. Hani ahu ahu my darish bahu. He learns chad lemute shnayim ochazim b'sakim v'shochatim, nor potter, and one of them is to tell me chad hu v'lo anus hu v'lo shogi hu v'lo mute. Oh, wow. So indeed, why not? V'idach, I know that from the extra hey, hu hahu. V'idach, hu hahu lo darish. Okay. Now, how about the following? How did Tani Omer l'shlucha tzeh arogat hanav v'shucha yav v'shlucha patur? Shammai ha-zakein omer mishum chagai anavi. Sholchav chayav shenemra oto harakta becherav b'nei amon. My time in the Shammai Azaken, kasov v'shnei ketuvim abayim g'achem melamdim, v'hu ahu lo darish, and therefore you're literally chayav and bezden on a mafia contract. V'boi deima, that could be liolam darish. Umar chayav, chayav b'dine shamayim. Ah, come on, michlav v'tanakama sova, that afil midine shamayim your partner. No, but the difference is dina rabba b'dina zute kebinayim. The by dema, it could be that shining hatam the Golei Rachmana otorak to becherav bnei amon. And what does the Tanakhama do with that pasuk? The ida, hare who meaning David kicherav bnei amon. Ma kicherav bnei amon in atane anashalav af uriyachiti yatane anashalav. Why? My time amori b'malchutu to go amalei v'adoni olav v'cholav de adoni al pnei asedechonim. But my rova. And you're literally chayev in beidin for a contract. Nonetheless, we're modeb amlishluk at seba olatayrva or seba cholatachela. But over there, hu chayav v'sholchav patur shlomatzina becholatara kula zeneene v'zemet chayev. Itma Rav Amar shliach nase eid ve'Rabbi Shilam re'en shliach nase. My time the ve'Rabbi Shima. Ilay me'mishum delo amar le haveli eid. So, what are you trying to say? Because alumikom alim la milta. The very Rabbi Shila Amri, no, that's the point. Because given the Omar Mashluch Shaladam Kamoto, the very fact that you're saying I did it is the reason you can't be an aid, because I have like a good thing. Made thing. Omar Lishlosha Tzuvikichili Aisha. Echad shliach v'shnayim edim. Dibre bet shemai. Bet hilel omrim. Kulam shluchim v'ein shliach nase edim. Now notice that akan lor plige ela b'shlosha. But if you only had shnayim for sure, there'd be no way that this shliach could be an aid. Dibre akol lo. So how could Rav argue? Udi omek yaitan edetani Rabbi Natan omer. Bet shemai omrim shliach v'ed echad. Bet hilel omrim shliach v'shnayim edim. Yeah, that's a big help. So now Rav Kibbeit Shammai? No, Rav had it the other way, Epoch. Actually, Rav Acha, right, Rav had the whole machlokas, Epoch. The Rav Amar, in Shliach Nase'ed, and the Rav Shilom Amar, Shliach Nase'ed. Ve'ilchata, Shliach Nase'ed. Omar Rav Amar, Rav Nachman. Omar L'shnaim Tzuva Kitchulet Eishab. Enein Shluchav, Enein Eidab. Same thing in Shuba Gerashin, same thing in Shuba Dinei Momenes, and all three of these cases are required, Ve'tzricha. The Ashwin Mekidushi, and I would say, Bishop Dolomisra Ka'ati. Ava Gerashin Echa Shema Inav Natanba. The Ashwin Gerashin Mishum De Itzalo Vecher Lochazia. But Momo, now you could always split it. So Emaani Miflik Palge. Therefore, Tzrichi. Now let me ask you something. My Kasavra, I mean, he Kasavra Malka Verbeinim. Tzorach Lefora Beinim. So why are they believed that they're gay Abedut? The Amalopur Ani Amalopur Uni. Ela Leoilam Kasavra Malvas Kaverbeinim ain't Tzorach Lefora Beinim. Umigu diachli lameimar hadrina lelove. Therefore, they're no longer nogea beidut. And yecholim lameimar parinine lemalpe. Vashto the tikkun rabbanan shvata said, mishtaboy ani edim diayim nale. Umishtaboy amal v'dolo shakale. And now we're left with the requirement of the lova to repay the malva. Uporle love lemalpe.